that are subject to PUC are involved in about 11% of the fatal accidents, comprise about 1.2% of all registered vehicles, and account for about 5.5% of the total miles driven. Our 1983 accident statistics show that at least 65% of the truck drivers involved in accidents in Oregon committed an error, and some studies estimate this as high as 80%. If current trends continue, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Center for Statistics and Analysis, heavy trucks may be involved in up to 25% of all fatal accidents by 1990. Because of the increasing size differential between trucks and other vehicles, particularly passenger cars, and the frequency of accidents involving trucks, particularly fatal accidents, we believe now is the time for a classified license system in Oregon. Senate Bill 213 will address this problem. Indeed, a federal report concluded that the classified license is a step that offers great probability for reducing truck accidents. Senate Bill 213 is intended to improve the quality of driving by establishing more effective driver licensing and testing procedures. A key feature of Senate Bill 213 is that it requires all applicants to pass knowledge tests covering laws and safe driving practices for the class of vehicle to be driven, and an actual drive test in a vehicle from the class for which the application is made. Data compiled in a California study suggests that licensing standards that require the demonstration of greater skills and knowledge result in a reduction of crashes. In Oregon, drivers are now licensed based on the reason they are driving, not on the size or configuration of the vehicle being driven. This means that two people can be driving the same type of vehicle, say a truck and trailer, while one may need a combined driver's chauffeur's license because that person is transporting persons or property for hire. The other person may just need a regular driver's license because he's not transporting persons or property for hire or hired specifically to drive the vehicle. In addition, people driving large trucks or truck and trailer rigs may qualify to do so merely by passing a drive test in a passenger car. It is commonly agreed that the demands and skills required in driving large trucks are more complex than those required in the driving of more routine type of driving of automobiles. Trucks and combinations of vehicles are less maneuverable than automobiles and often transport hazardous materials. It is reasonable, therefore, to expect that drivers of those vehicles should be tested in the vehicle to be driven to assure that they can operate the vehicle safely. Because of the time and effort involved in the rewrite of the Motor Vehicle Code and other legislation, drafting of Senate Bill 213 was not completed until the bill filing deadline. Consequently, we did not have time to review the bill and submit corrections amendments prior to the filing deadline. We do have quite a few corrections and amendments to the bill that we will have at a later date. These amendments pertain primarily to the breakdown of the classifications, the procedure for converting from the current system to the classified system, and the proposed fee structure. Okay, with the knowledge that we will be submitting amendments, we will provide the following brief and general description of how we see the classified system working. Senate Bill 213 establishes five classes of licenses and four endorsements to those classifications. The classifications are as follows. Class 5 would be for moped operation only, replace the present moped only license. The Class 4 would be for the regular type of driver's license mainly. It would include any two-axle vehicle except moped and motorcycles, motorhomes, buses designed to carry fewer than 25 passengers, and such vehicles towing small trailers, trailers with a gross vehicle weight of 1,000 pounds or less. Class 3 would be any three-axle vehicle and such vehicles towing trailers with a gross vehicle weight of 8,000 pounds or less. That would be the mainly larger trucks. Class two would be for buses. That would include commercial buses, school buses. And then class one, which would include any vehicle and combinations of vehicles. That would be the large truck trailer, tractor trailer rigs. The endorsements will authorize the operation of motorcycles, and there would be two separate endorsements depending on the size of the motorcycle. One, if a motorcycle had an engine size of 500 cc's or larger, and the second for those under 500 cc's. Another endorsement for the operation of vehicles transporting hazardous materials, and another for the operation of vehicles equipped with air brakes. Senate Bill 213 gives the division the authority to designate qualifying employers to issue certificates of competency attesting to a driver's ability to operate vehicles in lieu of the division conducting the actual drive test. This will help keep large tractor-trailer rigs away from DMV offices with limited parking and also save time for the applicants. To qualify as a certifier, an employer must meet specific requirements, including having an approved training and safety program in place at their company, and they would be monitored by DMV to assure that standards are maintained. Senate Bill 213 also provides the authority to grandfather currently licensed drivers into some license classifications. However, people who want Class 1 or Class 2 licenses will need to pass tests or present a certificate of competency. Okay. As far as cost and proposed fee schedules, we present that at a later hearing or work session.
Okay, questions, Senator Brenneman?
Madam Chair, clarify something for me a minute on moped. Offers a separate class, and it accepts it in class four, but yet I don't see that it is authorized, and you're not asking it for an endorsement down later. What are you saying, that if someone carries a regular valid driver's license, that they would need an endorsement to ride a moped?
Madam Chair, Senator Brenneman, no. To operate a moped, a person could either have a Class 5 license or they could have any of the other class license. As you move up through the classification system, it enables you to drive all vehicles in lower classes. So for example, if you had a Class 1 license, you could drive any vehicles except motorcycles, but mopeds would be authorized.
Well, it said on this page where the classes are given, it says except moped and motorcycles in class four.
Okay.
It should just read except motorcycles.
Except motorcycles, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. Further questions, Senator Brenneman?
No, thank you.
Okay. Senator Frey?
Well, I'm kind of interested in attachment B, just as academic matter. We keep hearing arguments about why we should adopt certain motor vehicle regulations, the latest example being the seatbelt legislation, and the arguments made, you know, that we're going to save so much. Society is burdened by the costs of caring for injured people and so forth. I'm kind of curious to know how these estimates are made. Is there a federal formula? How do we come up with these figures that we use?
Madam Chair, Senator Frey, these figures are taken from a PUC report, although I'm not sure where they or how they base their figures. There are a number of different studies out that provide the cost per accident, the cost per life. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has some figures. The National Safety Council has some figures. But I'm not sure where they arrived at these.
Well, okay. It really is of interest to me. Now, just take 1983. According to the figure here, almost $37 million it cost. I would guess the citizens of Oregon, as a result of fatalities, In truck accidents alone.
Right.
And if that information is available, I'd just like to have it in my file sometime.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's anyone from PUC here today, but one of the studies, like Traffic Safety Councils, I believe they take into lost revenue, you know, future income, and items such as that in calculating the loss because of a fatality.
I suppose, Madam Chair, one reason that this is of such interest to me is because of if you read the letters to the editor, in this particular, in the Salem Statesman, but there are a few in other newspapers too, in response to the Senate's passage of the seatbelt law, a lot of those writers are saying that we're just getting tired of hearing about how much this legislation is going to save the citizens of Oregon in terms of reduced hospital costs, in terms of reduced insurance rates, because in fact that they question that argument, that you know, which is a major argument being used. Senator Monroe, I'm just discussing some of the responses I read about to the Senate's passage of the seatbelt law, and the proponents are saying, well, it's going to, as a result of saving lives and reducing injuries, it's going to save a lot of money in terms of health care costs and insurance rates and so forth. And these letter writers are questioning that. So that gave rise to my inquiry here right now on the source of Attachment B. Now we're looking at Senate Bill 213 and the witness's testimony, Attachment B. And I was just curious as to how they come up with these figures, because we could probably justify these arguments a little easier if we knew the basis. So I was just handed something now here. That's where it comes from, in part at least?
I don't know. Okay. The source on this table says from the PUC, 1983 truck inspections and truck accidents. So what we'll do is ask them to expand on this.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Now, could I also ask another question, Madam Chair?
Sure.
I'd like to, it's just a question that goes to, I forgot to ask this thing on Senate Bill 20, but the people are still in the audience, and maybe they could help me. I was thinking of Representative Tarzian's comment about the folks in his area, the travelers in his area, who apparently want that because they don't want to get put in jail. I just want to be given a citation in lieu of being jailed when they drive through Ohio, which makes a lot of sense to me. I'd like to find out sometime how many states are like Oregon in that we cite and release or we don't put in jail. How many other states are there like Oregon? Thank you.
Okay. They're nodding that they'll get that to us. Okay. Now, are there more questions for Dennis?
Madam Chair.
Senator Timms.
Dennis, I just want to ask an example. Okay, I'm a trucker and I own a truck personally. Now, currently, I can climb in that truck and drive it under my regular driver's license, right?
Madam Chair, Senator Timms, yes, if you're not hired specifically to drive a motor vehicle, and if you're not transporting persons or property for hire, you can drive under a regular driver's license.
Okay, now are you taking care of that under this law, that a person that owns a truck and climbs in it to drive it is also required to have these? I didn't see that here in the exact wording. It was for hire or
good question.
In relation to your other what you just
Senator
mentioned.
Tim.
I don't see an owner can still climb in the truck and drive it as long as he owns that truck.
Hey, Senator Timms, that's one of the benefits that we see of the classified license. It doesn't distinguish between the reason for doing the driving. If you're driving a particular type of vehicle, regardless of whether you own it and are hauling your own materials or whether you're hired out and hauling it, if you're driving a truck and trailer, you have to pass a certain test. The driving skills required to drive a vehicle don't vary depending on the reason for doing the driving.
Okay, as it does currently, though.
Right, yeah.
What if you, Senator Sims?
I had one brief question. Page 3 of your testimony about qualifying employers given certificates of competency to attest to a driver's ability. What about the JIPO trucker or the farmer or the single truck operator or Senator Timms with his one truck and trailer? Would these people be required to go to a motor vehicle division office and have a driving test?
Madam Chair, Senator Simmons, probably. The criteria that we would have for authorizing people to do the certification based on what we've studied in other states would require them to have probably a pretty sizable fleet of vehicles, maybe 20 vehicles, have a certain good training safety program in place and some other criteria. The JIPO logger or whatever, who maybe just has a single vehicle, would have to come in more than likely. He would not qualify to be one of our certification people.
Madam Chair, I can envision a considerable real estate boom for property to be leased or sold to the state around the DMV offices to accommodate this kind of rig. I don't think you could get a tractor-trailer combination into the parking lot of Beaverton, for example. At least if you could get it in, you certainly couldn't get it out.
I wouldn't want to see one at the one on Northeast 60th either.
Well, that has a little more room.
Senator Simmons, one of the things that we're planning on doing is going to truck stops or away from the office because of a couple of reasons. One, the lack of space in our offices, and maybe also some city ordinances that wouldn't even allow large vehicles, you know, in near our offices. We would send an examiner out to the location to conduct the test.
Thank you.
Thanks. Dennis, what if I rent a U-Haul truck? I'm just an everyday, ordinary person that has a license to operate my everyday, ordinary car.
Okay, Madam Chair, the U-Haul and rental-type trucks are two-axle vehicles, so you'd be able to do that under your Class 4, which is the regular driver license.
Most of them.
I'm not aware. I think all the ones I'm aware of are two-axle.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any further questions for Dennis? Thank you. Oh, before you go, I think maybe you and Carol and Joan ought to get together and decide which direction you would go in the amendments and addressing the concepts as we have revised the vehicle code. I think that you may want to take maybe a couple of different tacks on things.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'll do.
Thanks, Dennis. Could I ask Bob Knight to come up and make a quick comment on this idea? I'm not really drafting him. He did say that he would do this.
You surely may ask me. Robert Knight, Oregon Trucking Associations. And Madam Chair and members of the committee, our association does support and has supported during the interim the concept of driver classifications. We can see a lot of value to it. I wasn't going to testify today because there are so many amendments coming in. I felt that would be the time to testify. Nevertheless, I would like to say that we would hope that all trucks would be treated the same according to their classification, regardless of its ownership, regardless of whether it's hauling for hire or hauling privately. Bear in mind that there are far more private carriers operating in Oregon today of trucks than there are for hire trucks, far more. We would also hope that you do not place too many obligations upon the employer. At the present time, I don't see where an employer can't comply with the testimony you've heard so far today. You may have to take another look at the classification where it mentions large, what is large. There are combinations of vehicles, trucks, and trailers operating that are very lightweight, yet they're very large. So you're going to have to watch that, in our opinion. And we would hope also, Madam Chair and members of the committee, that there will be a overview by the legislature on the drafting of the rules and regulations which will follow any kind of legislation that you adopt. Again, the Oregon Trucking Associations and our Council of Safety, Fleet Safety Supervisors, does support the concept.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions? Thanks. Okay. Anything further to come before the committee?
Madam Chair,
any last bills?
No, Madam Chair.
Senator Brenneman.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. There's a spelling error and endorsement all the way through the bill, and might want to change that.
No, the I.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way we spell that kind of an endorsement. Yeah.
I need to get advice.
Huh? Might be. I get my advice from the wrong person, but it was spelled wrong then in the other testimony.
Okay. Anything further? Do you want to get copies of these?
I'd like to have some.
Can we have copies of these? Okay, for each member of the committee. Okay. Nothing further? We're adjourned.
Huh?
Are these?
Hey, Senator Ryan, I think that interstate commerce is a good deal.